And welcome back to Coast. We are with Paul Selig as we talk about channeling The Other Side, his latest book, which comes out in August. Amazon's taking pre-orders, Beyond the Known Realization. Now, in a moment, when Paul is in this mode, his voice is going to change because they're the spirit guides talking through him. And so you're going to hear something that you haven't probably heard before in terms of inflection and voice. So just be ready for that. And welcome back, Paul Selig with us. Paul, when you're in this mode and the guides are speaking through you, do you know what is being said?
Yeah, I'm a conscious channel, but I'm receded. So I hear in phrases. So if you can imagine reading one fortune cookie after another without knowing whether they're going to make a complete sentence, that's how I'm hearing. When I'm reading, I'm more present as myself. So when the guides come through, there's the whisper and repeat. When I'm tuning in and reading as myself, there's a little less of the differentiation.
Okay. Now, does that happen all the time when you're doing your readings?
Does what happen all the time?
The voice change?
It happens every time I'm channeling, pretty much, yeah. When I'm reading, if I'm tuned in to, say, your sister-in-law, and I step into your sister-in-law, I probably won't do the whisper and repeat. But if the guides want to come in and comment on that, you'll definitely hear it.
How many guides are there?
It's a collective. The number I've heard is 9.
That's a lot. They
were impatient with me, and they said there's 9 of us here today. But I've done workshops where they've said there's a guide standing behind everybody in the room, and it's a large room, and there have been mediums taking the workshops who've seen it happen. They see the room fill up with guides that are working with the students. That's not my level of clairvoyance of sight. I primarily hear and feel, and I'll get backup information visually if that's necessary.
The guides have talked about the true self. What is that?
The true self is the infinite self. They use the word sometimes Christ, and their definition of it is the aspect of the Creator that can be realized in material form. It's the seed of source that seeks to be realized through all of us. So the true self is who we really are, and they talk about the small self being the personality construct. It's the mask we walk around in, and the mask is basically comprised of a lot of data, a lot of information, where we grow up, our gender, the religion we were born into, the times we were born into, all of those collective frames of reference. The true self exists beyond, you know, the body, the gender, the ethnicity, the social status, all those things. It's who we are when we're not operating through the mask.
And some of the things that you say have religious connotations, but it's not really religion, is it?
Not at all. I mean, and the guides have been very specific in saying that this should not be looked at as such. But what they're doing is they're reclaiming language that has perhaps been misunderstood or misused, over hundreds and thousands of years.
All right, let's try some phone calls for the remaining moments we have this hour. We'll start by going to Donna in Everett, Washington, first-time caller. Hi, Donna, go ahead.
Hi. George, first I want to say how much I appreciate you, and I'm always wondering how many books you read in a week.
A lot.
I bet, and I think you must have a photographic memory.
Yeah.
I'm calling because I feel like I have never discovered my purpose in life, and I'm 76. So I'd like to know if the guides can tell you what that is for me, or how I and other people can discover that and know it when it comes to mind.
Well, there's two ways to talk about this. The first thing, I'm just going to say this, which is the guides use one of these claims, I know how I serve. And they say the claim, I know how I serve, is claimed by the true self, the self that knows already. And the purpose of the true self, or the purpose of service at this level, I know how I serve, is how one is most fully realized as that aspect of the self. So it's really about realization, which is what we're here for. But I'm going to tune into you by name and see if I can hear you at all on what you're here for.
All right.
Okay.
Here we go.
Well, the funny thing is you actually come through saying, well, I'm here to decide what everybody else should be doing. If I do like, and as if you're saying, well, that's what I do. That's what I like. And that's how I enjoy myself. And that's how I enjoy myself. Now, this isn't a high purpose that you're describing. You're actually describing your interrelationships and actually with keeping your motor going, which is actually, in this case, positive. So let me ask if there's something higher for Donna. Your big lesson in this life is that you have the right to be here, no matter what anybody says or does. And I hear you're claiming this still through each stage of your life. For each stage of your life, you're actually being challenged to decide that you have the right to be here. And this is actually rather victorious. You show me a fist raise, so as if to sort of saying, I've made the decision, I have the right. And then you take a bow for this. So this is really what this has been about. In terms of what you do each day, they're saying choose the highest, claim what you wish. They're saying claim what you wish, live the life you choose. Live the life you choose, how you express in truth, in the highest way is how you give to others, is how you give to others, regardless of what you think about it. Don't expect it to look like one thing, how you serve is how you express. How you serve is how you are expressed, and that is why you've come, and that is why you have come, period. And they're saying period.
Does that help you, Donna?
It does, and I do every day try to help serve other people and help them to also realize the good in themselves and not to let other people judge them and realize that when that happens, it's about the other person, not about them.
Super. Thanks, Donna. Appreciate your call. And Paul, explain again to folks when they hear that double whisper, what's happening?
I'm taking dictation. When I'm reading myself and I'm tuning in, you're just hearing me and what it feels like or what I'm hearing from the other person. When the guides come in, there's the whisper, which is actually the transmission, and then the repetition, which is just in a louder voice.
Ah, okay. All right. Fascinating. These guides, who appointed them to you?
Well, I've never asked that question. I'm almost afraid to. And they're saying, do it now. So I'm going to go in and see if they want to answer that. This will be news to me who appointed us. They're saying, who appointed us is actually a funny question because we're always present. Because we're always present, not to the individual, but to the collective, as we operate through Paul. As we operate through Paul in transmission, we make the broadcast available. We make the broadcast available. To many themselves, so that they may know themselves in a higher accord, and claim an identity, a true self that can support world change. The idea of appointment or assignment is interesting, but it's a human construct, a job description. When one loves all, not just one man or woman, while we teach through Paul by his agreement to us, we are aware of the benefit of his presence, and everyone else's, who is encouraging others to a higher way of being, period. And they're saying period.
Paul, can I ask them some direct questions, or do I go through you?
You can ask.
Okay. I'm going to give this a try.
I don't know if they'll answer, but we'll go for it.
How do I address them?
Uh-huh. I'm sorry, one more time?
How do I address them?
Just hello. You don't
just
need to
hello.
Try.
Just
straight
through.
Out ask.
Okay.
It's okay.
Do you miss living as a human being?
Those of us who have been in form, yes, there are aspects of form that are pleasurable, the scent of a flower, the touch of a lover's face. There are things that we don't experience as you do in the higher octave we express through what we do see you, but we do see you in your experience, we benefit from your encounters. We still learn, we still learn, we still have evolve. We still evolve through this interaction, with humanity. It's less missing. It is less missing than realizing who you are, through the delicate experience, that being human means, We encourage you each, to embrace what you have here, the touch of a lover's face, the scent of the flower, because they are the gifts that come, from having taken form, There are higher gifts, yes. Other ways to realize the self, that we are in transmission with, but we do not see, This is lost, but gain, period.
But given the choice between being a human being or living in the spirit world as you do now, what would your choice be?
They're saying they're not as different as you think. Consciousness is expressed. In a myriad of ways. There are aspects of you all. That are operating without form now. You know yourself in form. Through the shared reality you've chosen to learn through. You have chosen to learn through. But there is an aspect of you that is already in the upper room. Beyond form. And learning there as well. You decide that things are separate. Including your relationship through form. That is actually illusory. The divine is all things. Including the body you hold. And lack thereof. So it's not preference. It is simply different ways of being expressed as source. And they're saying period.
Given this higher power that we call God, is there, in your opinion, a God? Have you noticed a God, a spirit God, wherever you may be?
Yes and no. You can create a God. You can create a God out of necessity, and make it true, But what you're doing, is emblemizing idea, and only an idea, of what a God should be, You can indeed create a God. May operate as such, But those mastheads, those ideas are of the whole. If you understand that God is all things, anything and everything expressed, is indeed God, knowing itself through form or entity, The idea of one God, in personality is how you've chosen to learn, You can understand yourself through that relationship. But it's a small way of understanding. God is the old man in the cloud. God is the air and the stars in the sea. Your breath itself. The love of all things. Is a truer God. But consciousness is eternal. And may be known through each of you. In different ways as you grow in spirit.
Fascinating. Let's go to our wild card line. Gil, a truck driving in Pennsylvania. Gil, go on. You're on with Paul Selig.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Sure.
Well, I was listening to what your lady told me. That is not really personal stuff, but the only thing I've got on my mind is personal stuff.
Give it a try. See what happens.
Well, with me, I'm mentally drained and physically drained when I get home on the weekend because I drive a truck all week. But my wife has cancer, and she's had cancer ever since we've been together, different kinds of cancer. And then the other thing that I always think about or worry about that drains me is my son being in my future. And so I don't know what you could tell me as far as guidance or thought or encouragement. Is there anything that...
Do you have, Gil, would you have a specific question?
Well, mostly is my wife going to get better with her cancer?
Well, I always say I don't do medical readings, but I'm going to tune into you and I'm going to tune into your wife. I had one question, though, on one of your questions. You said you said something about a son. I didn't quite hear it. Was it, will you have a son?
Yes, my son. See, I was shot. My wife was cheating on me, and she took my son. I was shot in November of 93.
You were shot? Like with a gun? Shot?
Yeah. I called you and told you, you know, that my wife was cheating on me, and she took my son, and what she done, she got, while I was healing, she had went and got a divorce behind my back where she get full custody, and she had left the state. Well, I tried to find him, and I couldn't find him for years. Well, he was born in 1991, June the 7th, and I was shot in 93 of November.
Who shot you? Who shot you?
Her boyfriend.
Her boyfriend, jeez. All right, and your son's about 28 years old now, right?
Yes, and so she changed his name, had him homeschooled and everything else where I couldn't find him. So I recently found out where he was at, living and everything else. He had just recently got back from the Navy and stuff. And where I found out where he was working, I made a phone call to him. He pretty well cussed me like all this was my fault and hung up on me. So I ain't been able to talk to him since.
Ah, okay.
Well, I found out he's got a daughter, which I've got a granddaughter, which I've never seen, which is 8 years old now.
Oh, my gosh.
And her birthday is June the 6th.
And the ex has cancer.
And my wife has cancer. One I have now.
Oh, you have a new wife. Okay.
Yeah, we've been together since 1995. Me and her have been together.
All right. Well, let's see if Paul, through his guides, can sort through this. Paul?
I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to tune into Gil first. Gil, I may ask you for your current wife's name in a minute or two, and perhaps your son's name or the name your son goes by. I'm going to tune into Gil first. Right. You, Gil comes through saying, I'm never going to get it right. No matter what I do, I'm not going to get it right. And that's what I expect. And that's what I expect. And he actually kind of shows up banging on the table, confirming that idea. And the idea is, I don't know what I'm doing anymore, so I'm going to try. And there's a part of Gil that comes through sort of saying, and I'm not even going to try. But it's the I'm not even going to try, and then you want to raise a beer and toast that. Now, let me hear you at a higher level. You actually say, if I knew what I was doing, I would have to make changes. And you say, that frightens me. I don't like to be wrong. You say, I don't like to be wrong. And then that actually is frightening to him. Let me go to the wife, please. Can I have her first name, please, Gil?
What's her first name, Gil?
Linda.
Let me go to Linda. Linda comes through with her middle finger up, pointing it at everybody. Middle finger doesn't necessarily mean screw you. It does mean boundary. And she's actually pretty good about this. She's throwing a boundary out there as if to say she's in charge and everybody needs to back off. And I suspect this actually includes Gil, because she sort of picks Gil up and pushes him off to the side, not to exclude him, but where she can manage him. She's actually a strong lady. She shows up showing me her muscles. I was in charge, and she's basically saying, I will always be in charge. She looks at the body, and I suspect that this has to do with the cancer, and there's a little part of her that says, what the, so what? I know what I'm dealing with. Like the lady knows what she's dealing with. And at that level, she feels practical, and I'm going to use the word a little bitter about it all, but, you know, it's like somebody who's been managing their stuff for long enough that they've got it down. So let me see what she needs from Gil.
Let's take a quick break and then come back and wrap that up. And welcome back to Coast to Coast, our final segment with Paul Selig. Paul, we still have Gil on the line, and I apologize to the spirit guides for me for interrupting them.
Not at all. You know, I channel with my eyes closed, and that's what happens sometimes. So, I mean, the last thing I was really hearing about the wife was, you know, just listen to the woman. Listen to her. I'm not tuned into her right now, but that was the last thing that I was getting before we took the break.
And that you wanted some information about his son. What's your son's name, Gil?
Bray, B-R-A-Y, Bray.
Bray, B-R-A-Y.
Well, Bray shows up. Bray shows up with attitude. He also's got his middle finger out. And this, when a middle finger means boundaries, somebody's creating a boundary. He's aware of his father. He's sort of looking askance at him out the corner of his eye. But the energy still is back off. Now, the thing about this relationship is that there's the son is holding fear around this whole thing, and it's the fear of the child. It's the fear of a child that was left. I mean, it's tears. So that the attitude that he's presenting, which is back off, is a protection.
It's a defensive mechanism in
there.
Yeah.
Excuse me?
It's like a defensive mechanism, isn't it?
Exactly right.
Well, Gil, good luck to you. Hope everything works out. Vanessa's with us in San Fernando Valley in California. Hi, Vanessa.
Hi. Thank you, George, for this opportunity.
You're very welcome. Do you have a question for Paul?
I do, and I also want to say hi to Paul's guides. I appreciate them very much. I am at a crossroads, and I really don't know what to do. And I'm wondering what my higher self or what the guides have to say. I feel lost. I used to have a lot of directions, but some stuff has happened recently, and I really don't know what to do.
Want to share some of that, Vanessa? What happened to you?
Well,
you don't have to if you don't want to.
Well, just the classic, lost the relationship, lost one of the jobs. I do a few things, lost the motivation for my passion, feeling really alone, and I don't know what to do.
Okay. All right, Paul, it's all yours.
I'm going to tune into Vanessa first and just hear what I can hear from her at a higher level. Then we're going to go to the guides. Well, the funny thing is she actually comes through saying, I don't want anybody to tell me to do, but I don't know what I want. So that's creating a bit of a sense of not being able to move or to reach beyond the circumstances that she's in right now. I'm going to ask why. This is about not wanting to be hurt again. This is about not wanting to look at your own heart, which is really, I think, what you're going to need to do to move through this, and you will move through this, is what I'm hearing. But I'm going to go to the guys, tell the young lady. They're saying, tell the young lady to stop telling her life, to stop telling her life that it's not what it should be, that it's not what it should be. This is indeed an opportunity. This is indeed an opportunity to know your heart, to know your heart, know what you can claim. So, and to know what you can claim, still underline can, unless you choose that you are allowed, that you are allowed to move beyond this point. To move beyond this point, you may sit for quite some time. You are less at a crossroads. You are less at a crossroads at a moment of waiting than a moment of waiting, and the moment of waiting ends. And the moment of waiting ends, the very moment you say, I have a right to choose, I have a right to choose the highest choice you can make now. The highest choice you can make now is to rely upon the true self, is to rely upon the true self, the God within, if you prefer, the aspect of you who knows what she needs, the aspect of you who knows what she needs. That is in the heart. It will be found there for you. It will be found there for you. Please ask it. Please ask it to show you the way. To show you the way. You will get up from the chair. You will get up from the chair and find yourself walking well. And find yourself walking well. Period. In the same period.
Ed, what do you think of that, Vanessa?
I'm supposed to ask my heart what I should do.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're saying you're less stuck right now. I mean, the part of you that feels stuck seems to be the part of you that doesn't want to take action. And they're saying you're in a place of waiting. You do need to choose. You don't really want to hear it from somebody outside yourself. The place to do it is from the heart. If you go to the heart, if you listen to the heart, you're going to find yourself in the right direction and not at that feeling of crossroads that you're experiencing yourself at now.
Okay, good luck, Vanessa. I hope that helps you. A lot of people have to take this to heart, Paul, to make it work for them, don't they?
You know, we all have choice, and the guides don't tell people what to do. You know, I can tune into people and hear what they want to do sometimes at a higher level. You know, if they're thinking about going to graduate school and they don't think that they're smart enough, we can work with that. I can hear at a higher level the benefit of the experience. But they don't tell people what to do. And I think that's important that they don't. I do think that we all have the information. You know, the guides say when you're in your knowing, the true self knows. This is how they say it. The true self knows, the small self thinks. If you just think of a time in your life when you knew something, you truly knew it, there was no question attached. And that's where you need to act from. It's the aspect of the heart that knows. You know, the thinking's up in the head. Whenever I think, there's still a question attached. When I know, there's not. When you're in your knowing, you can act, and you can act well.
Sometimes you know things, and you know you shouldn't do it, and you do anyways, and you get burned. But you knew it.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's how we learn. You know, that's the good and the bad news. We do get to learn through these things.
Jerry's in Nashville, Tennessee, east of the Rockies. Hi, Jerry. Go ahead.
Hey, George. Hey, Paul. How are you guys doing this morning?
Wonderful. Thank you.
I just got a quick question for you, Paul. Can you answer what is the difference between a psychic and a prophet?
A psychic and a prophet.
That's a really interesting question. I have no idea. I'm going to let the guides take this.
All right.
I think a prophet is speaking to the future in a broader sense. In a broader sense, he's handled. He is seeing an idealized outline of a collective outcome. The prophet sees for the whole. The psychic sees generally. The psychic sees generally to the life lived and how it is operating or not. The prophet is predictive, yes. But he works with the collective. He works with the collective to a potential manifestation, whereas the psychic works with the minutiae of a life or a person's needs, period. And they're saying period.
And Paul, this is for you. The title, Beyond the Known, Realization. Tell me about that.
Well, the guides are taking us beyond what we've thought can be, beyond the known. You know, the reality that we're sharing right now is a construct. We know everything by what we've been taught it is or means, and the meaning that we've endowed things with is how we give things value. And when you move beyond this collective, you begin to have a very different experience. And they're talking about realization. Now, the guides say to realize something is to know it. So they were just speaking about knowing to the earlier caller. When you're in your knowing, you can act. And they're taking us to a place of knowing about our own inherent divinity. So it stops being conjecture. They're talking at this point really about embodying, knowing the body, knowing the experience of yourself and your life in this higher octave or this upper room, which is beyond how we've known ourselves prior.
Let's go to Ontario, Canada. Maury is with us on the international line. Hi, Maury.
Hi, it's Maury.
Hi there.
Happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
And my question is, I believe I know my mission. I hope I'm on the right track, but I need a mission partner. It's a really huge mission, so I need someone from my soul group to somehow come through and manifest, or hopefully they're manifested already, and work with me. So where do I find this person?
Can I ask what this mission is, what you're looking to do?
Well, I'm working on reaching a lot of people through YouTube, I'm an artist, so I'm not technically inclined, so I need someone who's more technically inclined to work with.
Let me just see what I can get here. You haven't asked. I'm sure this isn't true, but the guides are actually saying you haven't asked. You're not expecting to get what you want. You're not expecting to get what you want. When you don't expect to get what you want, you rarely receive it. To a partner. In this way is to be in support. Is to be in support of another's ambitions. Not your own. Which is how you've been perceiving this. This is what I need to succeed. If your partner is being supported, through this endeavor, and that is the way forward, you can attract someone. You're being too specific. In what this should look like to simply claim that you have the right. to simply claim that you have the right to be supported in work, to be supported in your work creates the opportunity to understand the whoever you work with, to understand that whoever you are working with is being supported by this, creates mutuality, which is true partnership, and that is not how the endeavor has been outlined thus far, period.
Any follow-up question there, Maury?
Okay, so is there any specific place I should look for this person, or?
They're talking to you about something different, I think. They're talking to you about how you've chosen to put this in broadcast. So when they're speaking about manifestation, which is what they're teaching you or explaining to you about this, it sounds like you need to realize what this is and what it's not. And the what it is actually is mutuality and supporting that. Now, let me just ask if there's anything practical, because that's more, the guides don't care where we find people. They care how we do things. The psychic stuff sometimes we can get. You have to put it out in writing. I mean, basically, on a practical level, you have to put this out in writing. You're not just going to call it to yourself if you're working through the practical level of expression. If you want to work energetically, the first thing you have to do is say that you have a right to something, that it exists, and then claim it. You know, we don't claim what we don't believe we're going to get. It doesn't happen. The guides say we're always ordering off of the menu of what we expect, and we're always getting what we expect as a result of that. So this has got to be on the menu in order to be ordered and then in order to be received.
It sounds like the guides, Paul, truly want to help people. I find that admirable.
Yeah, they do.
And are they ever at odds with each other? Like when they're speaking to you or through you, is it just one or are they all doing it at the same time?
I hear a we. It comes in a voice that I'm familiar with. When I channel and when they're lecturing, occasionally there'll be real differentiations in the quality or the accent, occasionally the word choice, but they're pretty consistent because when you read the books, it all feels as if it's coming in one voice. I don't experience them ever at being at odds with themselves. They're occasionally at big odds with me because I don't agree with what I'm being taught or I'm resistant to the information. And then we have to go into that, and that actually happens in the books when they say Paul is interrupting, Paul doesn't understand. And it often happens, you know, when they're speaking with people as well. What they say isn't necessarily what somebody wants to hear. It's not necessarily going to affirm somebody's idea of, you know, being a victim or having, you know, outrage. I mean, the guides say, you know, self-righteousness is always the small self. They understand why we have it, but what it gets us isn't what we want, ultimately. So they try to teach us to learn beyond that.
Let's go to Jim, St. John's, Michigan. Hey, Jim, go ahead, sir.
Hey, how's it going, George?
Wonderful. Thank you.
I had something come to a head yesterday that started 23 years ago. I made a choice, a life-changing choice out of fear that was wrong because I was afraid.
Uh-huh.
And that decision has haunted me the last 23 years. And it's come to a point that I may lose my house now.
Oh, geez.
Where I live. And I'm just so overwhelmed. And when I heard Paul tonight, everything is just resonating, and I just want anything he can give me.
And Paul, we have a minute left, sir.
Okay, I'm just going to do a really quick trust this process. They're saying trust this process. You will see yourself through it. You will see yourself through it, but don't be noble. But don't be noble. Be open to receive support. Be open to receive support from wherever it comes, from wherever it comes. You are learning still. You are learning still. That is what you came for. That is what you came for, period. And they're saying, period.
Good luck. And a lot of this comes from within, doesn't it, Paul?
The information that we need to move on, yeah, I think spirit speaks to us through our intuition, through our heart, through our feelings. I don't think this is about relying on other people to get your information. The guides will do that, and I can do that in session when I go in depth with things, but ultimately, it's about knowing who you truly are, you know, and listening to that aspect of self that knows, because that's your true knowing, and your true knowing isn't going to lead you astray.
The name of the book, which comes out in August of this year, but you can take a pre-order on Amazon, is Beyond the Known Realization. Paul's website linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. Paul, once again, thanks for being on the program. Always good chatting with you.
Thanks for having me.
And we will have a great program for you all week long. And by the way, we'll be live next week on Independence Night. We're not going anywhere except right here. For Dan Galante, Gina Salvati, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasor, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, Tim Banal, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.